This passage in Psalm 105 brings to our attention the experience of Joseph. Now, Joseph was a man who, perhaps in more ways than any other individual, he typified the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can preach quite a number, and we have done some gospel messages referring to a particular event or a aspect of his life and use it to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he did indeed typify. And Joseph was in many ways a remarkable man, because through his life, time after time, he seemed to be able to face challenges with great integrity. And he obviously displayed a resolve that didn't come from himself. Just an ordinary man. And when he faced trials and troubles, I'm sure in many ways he felt like every other ordinary man. But in his experience, many of you will be aware that the Lord continued to show him the same love and care and compassion, and even to cheer his heart during difficult times. And folks, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all. Listening yesterday, I was down in Rossnaila at what they call their 12th, listening to the Reverend Ron Johnson was the guest speaker. And he was mentioning this very thing. He was speaking about being resolute, and how the people in the Republic of Ireland all over the years and through some very, very difficult times remained resolute, and they still are, those of the Reformed faith. And he was referring to God's steadfastness in good times and in bad. And so it was with Joseph here. But you know, folks, when Joseph looked back, and things seem always different when we look back on hindsight, and when Joseph looked back, he could see that God was shaping him. So in fact, God was supervising everything that was happening to young Joseph, protecting him and in his providence bringing about circumstances that would ultimately lead to Joseph's good. Now, sometimes it seemed that his whole life was tossed up and down, that emotionally there would have been great strain upon him. He sometimes received quite unexpected random blows, and of course they would have taken their toll as well. You read the word, and sometimes there was anticipation, and then it was just snuffed out by some kind of difficulty that came along. We know that continually he was a man who faced great challenges. He seemed to have his greatest days in the latter part of his life. Certainly his younger years were marked by great trial and trouble. Wouldn't you think that when he talked to his brethren, his brothers, when he was just a young fella, about how the Lord had shown him in the dreams his future greatness? He was naive in that he mentioned it to them, but they would have thought, do you hear this clown speaking? What's he talking about now? And then the events that took place would not seem to have reinforced their mocking. And it would seem to have them nod their head and think, well, we told you that he was just an upstart and he had a notion about himself, but here he is. They were wrong. They were wrong, because God was working in his heart and in his life. And this psalm, in the passage that we're looking at this morning, takes our thoughts back to those dreams where God talked to him and showed him how he would be great, and then he shared it with his brothers. But that was the word that the Lord had spoken unto him. But it says here, the word of the Lord tried him. It tried him. And as I mentioned to you just a little earlier, the word tried there is a strong word. It means verity. And the need for great patience. And I want this morning to look at you. I don't know all of your experiences, but we all know as adults, certainly, that there are trials and troubles. And sometimes it's a little bit like Joseph's experience. You anticipate something, then your thoughts or your plans are shattered. And you look around you for encouragement, maybe from someone who you expected it from, and they're not there. And then a random blow comes from somewhere else, and you just don't know really what to do. Well, the title this morning is Steadfastly Relying on the Steadfast Word. Steadfastly relying on the steadfast word. And I really do hope that what I say helps you. You have your own worries. I know that. But I don't know them all. But the Lord knows. And please do remember that. So we're looking here at steadfastly relying on the steadfast word. I want you to notice, first of all, there is the thought here of prolonged trial. In the introduction, I mentioned this a little bit. Joseph had already got victory over the spirit of vengeance. That was something which, for many men, is a struggle. Someone really wrongs you and hurts you. There is a thought, or there can be the thought, that you want to level the score. He managed to get victory over that kind of a spirit. He got victory over pain from his family. That's the worst kind of pain, when you're hurt by your family. He got victory over adversity. And it seems that the pathway that he was traveling was nearly always an unchosen one. He didn't sit down and figure out what he wanted to do and have a 5-year plan, as it were. But the Lord was directing him, you see, one step at a time. And he continued through all of this. Or should I say that as he continued through all of this, it was for him in many respects a prolonged trial. I'm sure there are many times he remembered the start of it all. He went away out to Dothan looking for his brother and his brothers. And he had thoughts of kindness and care in his heart for them. And they were scheming how they could get rid of him, because the father, perhaps again naively, had given him the coat of many colors. Were jealous, full of hatred. And he looked back to the start of it all, and maybe he asked the question, is it ever going to end? Well, we'll keep on looking here. It is a prolonged trial. And when Peter was writing to Christians in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says there in verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1, wherein ye greatly rejoice. This is in God's goodness and God's presence. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Well, the word temptations there simply means trials or adversity. Through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. There's the thought again of the furnace. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He doesn't give any hint there of a quick fix. In fact, he's indicating to these people that this might be your lot all through your life. And then at the appearing, honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Prolonged trial. James, when he was writing as well, there in James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Or again, the word means trials. Now, he's not saying here that you go around looking for trouble so that you can rejoice. He's referring to the presence of God in that trouble. Of course, you don't rejoice in the problem itself. But he's saying here, lead before the mind. That's what the word counts. Lead it before your mind. The presence of the Lord in these trials that come, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Not easy circumstances and situations for the people that he was writing to. And over in the book of Hebrews as well, in chapter 11, it says, now faith is the presence, or sorry, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We'll not read all the chapter, we'll just mention a couple of verses. Verse 7 was Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He didn't see any rain. There hadn't been any rain. The dew had watered the earth. He said, there's going to be a downpour and the earth's going to be flooded. And we need to build an ark. And people thought he had lost the plot. But he believed on, you see. And it was by faith that he did what he did. And Abraham in verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. That was a huge step. A very wealthy man turned his back on all of that and just went out because God told him to. And it didn't happen right away. The answer didn't come right away for Noah or for Abraham or, folks, for Joseph either. There was prolonged trial for these individuals. And as that happened, with certainly we're thinking here of Joseph, he had to learn, as I do, have done, and still do. And showing him his future greatness. Many times he had to just cast himself upon what the Lord had said. But all of this would prepare him for future usefulness. Usefulness. And folks, that's really what we are to be. Just instruments. We sing sometimes channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. And 2022, perhaps there's not as many as there used to be who want to be a channel. I'll go further and say there's some of no interest at all. We can see that. But he wanted to be useful for the Lord. Remember in the presence of Potiphar and Potiphar's family, he was God's man there. And it really told in the actions and attitude of Potiphar. You can read there of his experience yourself. And then we think of what had been told regarding him way back in Genesis 49. Where it says there, when Jacob was speaking by way of prophecy, he said that Joseph, this would be the people of Joseph, and indeed it was Joseph himself, is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The thought there certainly is of prosperity, of having an effect when the branches are going out over the wall. It didn't happen overnight. And he thought he was landed, perhaps, on a human level in Potiphar's house, and then everything went wrong. And he ended up in prison. And then there the Lord used him. You see, when he looked back, he could say, the Lord was shaping me. And the Lord was strengthening me for usefulness in the days that lie ahead. He certainly was a man who learned to have greater spiritual perception. And was able to look for the hand of the Lord and his experiences. I think it wouldn't have been too many years until the naivety went from him. And whenever he was in Egypt, he operated there as a very, very able character serving there in Egypt. I can read you what it says over there in the Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 65. says here, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Now in this Psalm 119, you will see that it's constantly referring to the word, and many, many, many times the writer here is showing that he cast himself upon the word. He was steadfastly holding on to the steadfast word. Sometimes he'd very little else to hold on to. It says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. And then he said, Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. It's not in my nature, and it's not my responsibility either, to dictate to people. But whenever you're preaching, you have certain things to do, and one of them is you try to encourage people. And we try to show people the best we can the importance of having a close walk with the Lord. Because here's the psalmist saying, Before I was afflicted came, and the word afflicted there means to be lowered. That's what it means. Before trial came. And it brought me down. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. It took the affliction to bring them close to the Lord. And why do we say, please come to the meetings, please pray, please be in attendance? Is it because I want to dictate to people? Absolutely not. It's because that's what the Bible says I need to do. And God loves his children, and he will not look on forever if we're going astray. Sometimes he afflicts his people, and I say this carefully to you, sometimes he takes them home. Read in Corinthians that we often read in association with the Lord's table for this reason, that is, the coming to the table with the right heart. Many sleep, and many are sick. And the Lord afflicts, and that's what the psalmist is saying here. Before the trial came, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. And then he says in verse 71, amazing words. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. I never feel like that, or very seldom. Sorry, looking back and thinking, well, it was good for me. But at the time, we don't think it. It was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, or learn thy word. Learn to hold on to it. Learn to follow it. Learn to cherish it. And learn to love it. Now, folks, we all agree that God has given great promises to his church. He will build his church. He's in the midst of his people. It does not matter whether it's a giant auditorium or a little assembly like ours, or some a lot littler. And we know that he is in the midst. We know that he's building his church. We know that his word will not return unto him void. We know that he still blesses the preaching of the cross. And we know that he will return. But in some ways, in the Christian church at the moment, it's a matter of holding on to the word. Steadfastly relying on the steadfast word. Plenty of skeptics about, and those who will be very fond of poking holes in what you say or the word of God. And maybe you've heard it said to you, but nothing changes. And you keep talking about the Lord returning and this happening or the other. Nothing changes, but it will. It will. Why will it? Because the word says it will. And folks, I trust that through what I said in this first point, that we're all reminded, yes, we know about the prolonged trial. And maybe there's someone here or someone listening somewhere on sermon audio and you've had a prolonged trial. Maybe a bit like Joseph, just when you thought it was getting better, it got worse again. And then when you thought it was getting better again, something suddenly came. And it's been a prolonged trial. The word of the Lord, it says here, tried him, but didn't cast it aside. He didn't cast it aside. There was this prolonged trial as far as Joseph was concerned. But there was, and I've already touched on this, there was his positive trust. As a human, he felt, undoubtedly, he felt shaken, and such were some of his experiences that he could have crumbled. And when trial is with us, indifference is always whispering in our ear, "You're a fool for relying on the word of God. You're a fool for relying on the word of God." But he held on to that word that God had given him. And I say he had positive trust. He had positive trust even in his different duties, never in his dreams. And I'm speaking of his thoughts, even in his wildest thoughts, that he imagined that he would be the man in charge down in the prison as a prisoner. He would never have imagined that that could have happened to him. He had the oversight down there. But it's remarkable he wasn't bitter. And certainly he was concerned about himself, but he wasn't bitter. And he was still trusting in the Lord. The word of the Lord was still trying him. And some of the pathways that, and it was amazing that one of the brethren praying in the prayer meeting this morning was saying words that I, almost the words that I was going to say. Sometimes the pathways that we walk, we don't understand them. And we didn't seek them out. But when we wanted to go on with the Lord, these were the pathways that were laid out before us. Different duties than he imagined. Remember what the Lord told him. "Joseph, you're going to be greater than your brethren." Now he's lying in jail, accused of something he didn't do. And he's down there, but now he's in charge. Who knows where the Lord can use us? Maybe you're in a difficult, your back's to the wall somewhere. It's the hardest place that you can imagine yourself being now. Well, the Lord might use you there, give you different duties in that situation. But then there's a different outcome. You see, he didn't really know what was happening. He had told his brothers, but since that, as I mentioned, it had been all downhill. It seemed to be all downhill for him. You see there, it says in verse 17 of Psalm 105, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Brethren thought he would probably be dead quite quickly after this. Certainly, he would never be a problem to them again. He later said to his own brethren, "God sent me." And he actually said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And Christian, again, if you're in a difficult time at the moment, I don't in any way seek to downplay a trials and worry and stress and all of the things that brings, that problems bring to our lives. But in the midst of all of that, remember this, that the Lord has not let you go there on your own. You see, the Lord was with Joseph. Isn't that what Potiphar noticed? He saw that the Lord was with Joseph. And wherever you are now, and as I said, I know some of you, certainly we've all our worries and problems, but some of you perhaps difficult trials now. But then what about, we're looking here at his positive trust. He ended up the supervisor, not up in some glamorous place, he's down in jail. A different outcome, well, he was just probably crying all the way to Egypt as a young boy, thinking we'll ever see my dad again. And what's becoming, what's happening to me now. But then think of the duration of this. Whenever one trial came, he probably thought he just about wasn't going to get through it. And then he did. And then another one came and he probably thought, well, this is me this time. I'm too weak. Well, he wasn't, because God strengthened him. And folks, isn't it so like us just to be like that? We think we're not going to get through. We wonder how we're going to do if another trial comes. Well, the Lord is as good as his word. Over there in Deuteronomy 33 and the verse 25, and this is a good verse. It's concerning Asher, the tribe. It says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Mother or father, you're worrying about your wee children. Rightly so. I worry about mine, and they're big now, bigger. And you're worrying about tomorrow and thinking, well, what if this things keep going as they're going? What if? What about health? What about all these things? As your days are, so shall thy strength be. You get tomorrow's strength tomorrow. And that's what the Lord was saying here to Asher. In fact, the word strength there in Deuteronomy 33 and 25 is a word that carries a meaning of flowing wealth. You get abundant strength tomorrow, and you can't see it not today, because you don't need it today. In our tomorrows, we will need it. But it's then that we get it. But what the Lord asks of us is to steadfastly hold on to the steadfast word. And again, I'm not being cruel or anything. Some Christians are not doing that. No interest in doing that. No concern for the Lord's work. And just throwing God's word to one side. That is the honest truth. Let it not happen to any of us. There is the positive trust here, but there is the precious triumph. It was a prolonged triumph, but it didn't last forever. You remember when Peter and James were put in prison? And James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword. His trial was over. He was in glory. Peter was going to go the same way. And it says in Acts 12 and 5 that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They prayed for James as well. James wasn't released in the sense that he was allowed to go back to them. Peter was. And folks, what triumph you read of there in Acts 12 and how Peter came out. He was guarded by so many soldiers and the gates were locked and the Lord just made a way where there was no way. And so he did for Joseph. Joseph learned, you see, he learned to cease from man. He had to look to the Lord for help. He learned certainly early on to cease from self because he had no answer to these things. We don't go looking for trials that come. He learned to cherish the word because it was the one thing that brought him comfort and protection and hope, and it still is. It still is today to cherish the word of God. And then you could say that Joseph here, certainly he conquered by the word. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Then it says in verse 20, the king sent and loosed him. There's a big, big change after that. And he was a man who did a serious amount of good for a serious amount of people. And I trust that as we consider Joseph here, and how he steadfastly held on to the steadfast word. Yes, the word tried him. It didn't let him down. It didn't change or go away. But it tried him in the sense that he had to wait and he had to go through the trials. And folks, the Christian church today, that is where we are, right across the world. Yes, there are exceptions. There are some places where there are dozens, if not hundreds, of people being saved. It's not here at the minute. There are places where there is a very great interest and a reviving among God's people, great interest in praying and working and all. In some ways, that is here. But I was reading something that encouraged me since I saw you last, and that was that one of the signs of revival. Seems a very simple thing, but one of the signs of revival is spiritual joy. Spiritual joy. And this is just a small congregation, but there's plenty of spiritual joy And that gives us cause for hope, that God would move and even use our efforts. We're thinking again of the Bible Club and the parents that will be reached, that the Lord would use it to do great things. We need to see great things at this stage in Northern Ireland, because great evil has come in. But when the devil and iniquity comes in, indeed like a tide of iniquity rises and rises, the Lord is able to raise up a standard against the devil, against him. Trust the Lord will bless you through thoughts, and you will be enabled, whatever your circumstances are, you'll be enabled to hold steadfastly onto the steadfast word.